Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, fellow infidels, and welcome to another episode of The Danger Zone here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, where we, every week, try and keep you safe and up to date on the world, and specifically Islamic terrorism. So here's a headline that doesn't have a headline, and I'm going to try and explain what I mean by that. There are a lot of headlines out there right now, but if you connect the dots, they all lead back to the same thing. And I've yet to really see anybody, I've yet to see anything in the news where anybody has connected these dots. It's driving me nuts. Let's take a brief look at what is going on in the world around us. What is making headlines right now? The possible end of the war in the Korean Peninsula. You have North Korea and the possibility, I mean, this is so big, it is enormous, the possibility of the denuclearization of North Korea. And think about who that directly connects to. Then you have the Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, meeting with President Trump. Days later, you have the chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, meeting with President Trump. Think about how those two are connected to something connected to North Korea. The day after Mike Pompeo, former director of the CIA, now new Secretary of State, the day after he gets approved to be Secretary of State, he is off to the Middle East. Think about who that has to do with. All of these things are coming down at the time that something is up to be renewed. Think about it and connect the dots, because they all have something to do with each other. Yes, even North Korea. That is what we're going to be talking about today. If you haven't figured it out yet, in a word, here's your answer: Iran. People, what is going on right now is so amazing and can be so wonderful as long as it is played correctly. There is a chance now to change the entire demographic of what is going on in the world with Iran and its state sponsor of terrorism. That's what we're going to talk about. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
There is so much going on in the world right now, it is hard to keep up. But if you look at the big picture, if you look at what everything seems to be connected to, they're all connected to one thing. I want to take everybody back a minute and tell me if this sounds familiar. We welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, that the advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Let me continue with the sentence, because I think you're going to remember this. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. Sound familiar yet? Get ready for the last line, because I know you'll recognize it. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Why am I bringing that up? That speech was by President Ronald Reagan in West Berlin on June 12, 1987. What does any of that have anything to do with what we're talking about? Because when Reagan said that, the screaming liberal left, all they could do was say, he's going to get us into a nuclear war. Oh my God, there's going to be a nuclear holocaust. How dare he speak to the Russians that way? Originally, his own people took that portion of the speech out. They didn't want him to say, tear down this wall. And he said no and put it back in. And when I say he said no and put it back in, he was literally on the flight to Germany. And he hand wrote that part of the speech back into the finished speech. No one on his own team and his own administration wanted him to utter those words. Now we have President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump, who just months ago referred to the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, as Little Rocket Man, telling him that his nuclear button was bigger, better, and it worked. And the liberal left screamed, oh my God, there's going to be a nuclear holocaust. We're all going to die. Really? And now that North Korea, for the first time in its history, the leader of North Korea has crossed the DMZ. And when I say for the first time in history, for the first time in history since the Korean War back in the 1950s, crossed the DMZ and shook hands with the leader of South Korea and has pledged to sign a peace treaty and give up its nuclear aspiration. Now, the left, of course, because Donald Trump can do nothing right, the left, of course, is saying that this has absolutely nothing to do with President Trump. The only reason that North Korea is even doing this, well, you know, the mountain where they test their nuclear weapons, it collapsed. It caved in on itself from all the nuclear tests, and there's no way they can continue. That's the only reason he's coming across the border and talking about peace. Really? Seriously? Well, I'll tell you what, left, if that's your argument, then my argument would be it was because of Trump that they ramped up their tests, and it was because of Trump that they continued one right after the other to do nuclear testing that created that mountain to collapse. But if that's how stupid your mindset is, that you really believe that the only reason that North Korea is willing to come to the peace treaty table is because that mountain collapsed, I don't even know where to begin. Go back and look at the recent history of just the last several months. Go back and look at the last year. Look at the Olympics. Look at what Trump did to bring us to where we are today. Nuclear holocaust or peace through strength? Thank God, Baruch Hashem, we finally have a leader in the United States, the leader of the free world, that understands the meaning of peace through strength, because that has brought us to such an amazing time. People, we are at a fork in the road, and it can go either way. Right now, the JCPOA, otherwise known as Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, yeah, the one known as the Iran deal. To quote Trump, the worst deal ever written in history. It's not even a deal. Iran gave up absolutely nothing and receive billions and billions of dollars. And we see where that money is going. We see what they are doing. Their own people, the Iranian people, are out in mass in the streets. Even though you're not hearing about it in the news, trust me, they still, to this day, are out in the streets going and rioting and demonstrating against the mullahs, the leaders of that country, because they know that all the money they received is going towards terrorism and not for the good of their own people. Who brought us to this point? It certainly wasn't Obama. Gotti, what is the connection between North Korea and Iran? What does any of this have to do with North Korea and Iran? Asia and the Middle East. I mean, come on. Get serious. Do you really think there's a connection there? And what does any of this have to do with France or Germany meeting with President Trump just this past week? What does any of this have to do with Mike Pompeo? Oh, he's the new Secretary of State. Of course he's going to travel all around the world. What does it have to do with Mike Pompeo, the new Secretary of State, going to the Middle East and meeting with Israel and Saudi Arabia? Do you not see? Let's play connect the dots. And let's start with Iran and North Korea. North Korea's dealings with Iran started right after the Iranian Revolution in 1979. And when I talk about their dealings with one another, their diplomatic relations extend so much further into educational, scientific, and cultural. It is amazing if you just Google it and look at these two countries and the ties that they have. But more so, look at their nuclear cooperation. Look at the arms deals that have been going on since the 1980s. Between North Korea and Iran. Iran is seeing all of everything that they have accomplished since the 1980s dry up, and it's drying up quick. And we owe that. We owe that to one administration. I'm not going to place it all on one man, but I will say that one man has surrounded himself with all the right people. And look at how fast we have gone. Since McMaster left as National Security Advisor and John Bolton took over, since Rex Tillerson left and Mike Pompeo is now the new Secretary of State, look at how fast things are moving. And all this is leading up to that JCPOA, otherwise known as the Iran deal, because President Trump has to either sign it again or pull out. We are on the verge of seeing something that could go very, very good or extremely bad very quickly. President Trump has to certify the JCPOA by May 12th. So basically, what, 13 days from now? What we see happening with all of these meetings, not just Pompeo in the Middle East, but with Angela Merkel and with Emmanuel Macron meeting with President Trump, this is all because not so much that Trump is going to try and talk them into siding with him as much as it is in Trump preparing them for what is about to happen. Because we all know how Iran feels about this. We all know what Iran has said about this if America were to pull out of this deal. So this is a preparation that we see going on with the Secretary of State, with the parties involved in the Middle East that have the most concern about it, that being Israel and Saudi Arabia, as well as Trump then preparing the Europeans that signed on to this deal for, hey guys, I'm not going to recertify this. That's what we see happening right now. And as I said, this can go very good or very, very bad. Very fast. So I want to cover all the different avenues, kind of piecemeal it together and look at it and unpack it, because there's a lot going on, a lot of different countries involved, and it all comes back to Iran. And think about where we could be. Think about where we could be 6 months or a year from now if Iran were to be stopped with its state sponsor of terrorism and having its finger in every conflict throughout the world that it's involved in right now. Think of how big of a deal this is, and look at how much Trump has accomplished with this in such a short amount of time. We'll be back right after this.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Initially, the JCPOA, otherwise known as P5 plus one, you know, what did that stand for? Well, the P stood for permanent, and it was the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council. So you had China, France, Russia, United Kingdom, United States, P, that's the P, the permanent members, plus one. It was called the P5 plus one. Well, that was plus Germany slash the European Union. So you had all of these different countries signing on to this deal. But it really wasn't a deal. And we've talked about this on the show before. I'm sure you've read about it. You've heard about it elsewhere. It did not stop Iran from doing nuclear weapons. It put a pause on it. And I'm not even going to get into the whole deal and all the, I mean, the whole thing is ludicrous. Iran can choose who and when they can go and inspect their different facilities. If they don't want the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to go into its military establishments, and they don't have to let them. And I mean, the whole thing is one big joke. Thank you, President Obama. We've heard about it from not only President Trump, who has spoken about it at length, but we have heard about it over and over and over again, not only to the United States Congress, but in front of the United Nations by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He has been out there saying for how many years now that this deal was the worst deal ever, and it was not going to bring about anything but a delay, that so-called sunset clause. What John Kerry, the former Secretary of State under Obama, what Obama and, yes, Hillary Clinton managed to pull off with the world is probably one of the biggest jokes. I just want to scream that this was ever allowed to go through. But now we are on the verge. We are at that fork in the road that I spoke about. Now, why am I calling this a fork in the road? Everyone, you need to understand. Okay, America pulls out, big deal. What does that do? Well, automatically, if America were to pull out of the Iran deal, all of the sanctions from the United States would go back in place. Now, although that, yes, will hurt Iran, it's not going to be as crippling to Iran as pre when this deal was signed, when the entire world, through the United Nations, all those that signed on to the sanctions originally, including the aforementioned countries, you know, back when they were all together along with the United States putting sanctions on Iran. Because just because the United States pulls out of this doesn't mean that China, France, Russia, and the United Kingdom and Germany and the European Union are going to follow suit. So the United States pulls out, but look at what Iran has said is going to happen. Of course, as usual, Iran is not going to blame just the United States. Let's remember how they refer to the United States. The United States, according to Iran, is nothing more than the giant Satan. And Israel is the little Satan. They are going to, and have already verbally come out and stated, if the United States pulls out of this deal, it's Israel's fault. They're going to blame Israel regardless. They're going to find a reason, just like the left blaming Trump for everything, Iran is going to blame Israel for everything. And this is why it's so critical that this be handled in a very strategic way. And when I say strategic, I am talking like a chess game where you plan out your moves. Based on a move you're making now, you're planning out 20 in advance. You have got to be able to look at that chessboard of all these different players and decide what you're going to do 20 moves from now. That is where Trump and his administration, Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, all come into play. And yes, big time, North Korea. Because Iran sees the writing on the wall. Iran sees what is happening. And if North Korea can no longer help, either monetarily or by supply or by engineering and helping them engineer their nuclear aspirations, Iran's got a big problem. Because right now, Iran and North Korea are not only doing deals when it comes to weaponry, which is, you know, it's benefiting both countries as far as the money in buying and selling weapons to each other, but it's helping Iran not only with their missiles and their missile systems. Let's not forget the arguments that have been out there from the United States claiming that Iran has gone and stepped over the guidelines of the agreed deal when it comes to its missiles. And Iran is saying, no, our long-range missiles have absolutely nothing to do with the JCPOA, have nothing to do with the Iran deal. And if we want to build long-range missiles, we can. North Korea and Iran are helping one another with their long-range missile development. And then on top of that, you've got the nuclear end of it. Go and do your research. Look at where Iran has gotten much of their, from their centrifuges on down the line. Their nuclear capabilities are identical to that of North Korea's. Why is that? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. No pun intended. Look at what happened in Syria. Who was helping Syria build the nuclear reactor that Israel has finally come forward and said, yeah, we took care of that. We're the ones that bombed it. Who was helping them build it? North Korea. If North Korea stops its nuclear aspirations, and believe me, people, when I tell you, when Trump says, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to talk to Kim Jong-un and we're either going to have a deal or we're not. And I'm not going to be played for a fool. That is the businessman. That is the art of the deal. That is the deal maker saying up front, I'm not going to let them just stop nuclear aspirations for themselves and continue to help other countries. They're going to stop it all around 100%. No more nukes, no more helping other countries with their nukes. That's what Trump is already saying. And Kim Jong-un knows this. So one of two things are going to happen with North Korea. Either there's going to be a deal and North Korea will either stick by it, or they will suffer the consequences, unlike all the previous deals from all the previous administrations where the United States gave North Korea money and they continued along their merry way anyway. You cannot appease countries like this with just, okay, we'll pay you and you're going to stop. You need to have a red line where that red line is not just, well, we're not going to give you any more money. The red line has got to be peace through strength. And that's what Trump is already letting Kim Jong-un know. You are going to abide by the deal that we make, or there's no deal and you're going to suffer the consequences. But by God, if you sign on the dotted line and you make a deal with us, there's not going to be any gray area. Your nuclear everything stops. And that is part of the Iran deal. And that's why this is such a big thing. That's why we saw Macron and Merkel meeting with President Trump last week. That was not by accident. This was all about the Iran deal, because in 13 days, Trump either has to recertify it or the United States is backing out. When we come back, I want to talk about what the ramifications are. What has Iran said is going to happen if the United States were to back out of this deal? Because this is where Pompeo shuttling around the Middle East and Europe comes into play. We are on the verge, as I said before, of something extremely good or very, very bad. And it is going to happen. It's going to happen probably within 6 months. We're going to see one of two things happen. Iran is either going to back down or we're going to have an issue. So when we come back, I'd like to talk about, Gotti, what do you mean an issue? This could go a lot of different ways. And no matter how you look at it, no matter how you slice it, no matter what you think or believe, Israel is right smack in the middle of it all. I know it. Those of you listening to the sound of my voice in Israel know it. Benjamin Netanyahu has known it for years. But more importantly, Donald Trump knows it. And we already know how Donald Trump, unlike previous administrations, we already know how Donald Trump feels about Israel. Think about what these ramifications might be. We're going to cover them when we get back off this next break. Because people, I got to tell you, what we're going to see in the next 6 months is going to be history. History in the making. And we might actually, with the help of the people in Iran, we might actually be able to finally put a stop to the Islamic regime of Iran. We'll be back right after this.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Fuld. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
The Islamic Republic of Iran. Just yesterday on Al Jazeera, and you know, this is a good way to get the news, is to read. You know, I don't get my news just from one place, as I've explained before. You need to go out and you need to check all the sites, regardless of which way they may swing. Be it left or right, be it pro-Islamic or anti-Islam. Read it all, put it together, and you have to read between the lines. It's the old saying of there's his side, her side, and somewhere in the middle lies the truth. And that's what you get today, unfortunately, because the news is no longer news. And every different news agency will definitely spin it to their own way. So going to Al Jazeera and seeing what they have to say is a good way to really get a read on how the Arab states feel about something. So just yesterday, Iran's president Hassan Rouhani spoke to Al Jazeera about Mike Pompeo and the United States and the so-called Iran threats, as they're referring to them. What Rouhani said was, and I want to, this is very important, so I'm going to do this, I'm going to read it, and I want to quote this. Quote, "The nuclear deal or any other subject under its pretext is not negotiable in any way. Iran will not accept any restrictions beyond its commitments," end quote. Now, that was according to a phone call that took place between the French President Emmanuel Macron and Hassan Rouhani. So this is just yesterday. Iran is already saying, okay, there ain't no change in this. The deal is the deal is the deal, and it stays that way or else. And I have no doubt in my mind that when Iran says that they will retaliate, and that is their words, not mine, that they will retaliate if the United States pulls out of this deal, I have no doubt that we will see some type of retaliation. Now, before we get into what kind of ramifications that retaliation may or may not mean, we need to look at what is going on inside Iran. Because just because something is dropped off the news or is difficult to find in the news doesn't mean that it's not continuing. And what we saw in Iran just a few months ago, and we spoke about it on this show, it started small. It started with women removing their hijabs, women taking off their headscarves, defying the government and the laws of Iran. What we saw in those demonstrations, which led to, this has been, I got to tell you people, and I've seen pictures of it that have been smuggled out of Iran, pictures of people that have been arrested and tortured. Those that were lucky enough, if you want to call it even lucky, those that were lucky enough to survive the beatings that took place in the Iranian jails after being arrested for demonstrating against the mullahs, after being arrested for demonstrating against the government, the horrendous pictures. And I can't even go into what I saw because they were just too graphic. Of what happened to these men and women. And many of them, unfortunately, did not survive. But just because that dropped off the news does not mean it's not continuing. Because every day, and that is no exaggeration, multiple times per day, every day, I receive updates on what is taking place in the ground from Iran by more than one individual. So these sources that I am utilizing, it's not just one person who claims to be in Iran. I know who these people are. I know where they're getting their information. And I watch videos that have been smuggled out of Iran multiple times per day on a daily basis. This is continuing. The demonstrations have not stopped. So this is extremely important. Like we spoke about on the show previously, this is not like the demonstrations we saw with the Green Movement in 2009. That was another political organization that was screaming about the fact that they didn't have their fair share. They didn't have their rights. When they went to the polls back in 2009, the Green Movement was about a political organization. What we see happening now in Iran on the ground is, talk about grassroots. This is the people of Iran, not a political organization screaming that the election is rigged. This is actually a grassroots movement of the people, mainly the farmers of Iran. People in Iran are starving now. People in Iran are living on the streets. I have seen the pictures and I have seen the videos of these poor individuals that are living on the streets, eating out of trash because the government is not helping their own people. They would rather put the money they received to terrorism and to destabilizing the entire Middle East for their own benefit. And what we see now happening in Iran is creating a situation where Iran is not just getting pressure from the outside world, but rather from the inside at the same time. The Islamic Republic of Iran, the mullahs, are being squeezed from both sides. And this is the best of the best when it comes to the timing, because when you have an uprising from within, at the same time you are being pressured from countries that used to help you, that used to look the other way, that's when we start to see change. And this can go so wonderfully for the entire world if finally the Islamic Republic of Iran is put down once and for all. Now, the problem is we have the other side of the coin. Obviously, those that are in power in Iran, the mullahs and the current administration within Iran, are not going to give up without a fight. This has been going on since pre-1979. 1979, they had their revolution, they took over, and now they are fighting for their survival. So the ramifications, the threats that are coming out of Iran, and people, I've said this to you for years, I've said it since before I was on this station, I've given lectures about it, and I've taught about it, that when Iran makes a threat, you need to listen. When Iran says they will do something, you need to listen. You've heard Benjamin Netanyahu talk about this. I've been saying this for years as well. These threats cannot just be brushed aside. And now that Iran may very well find itself in a fight for its own survival, they're not going to give up and they will fight. Wiping Israel off the map, their words, may very well be an attempt at reality if too much pressure is placed on Iran's current regime and they see it slipping away. Israel knows this. There's no doubt in my mind that Israel is prepared for this. All you have to do is look at an Israeli newspaper. Look at an Israeli television station or website. Listen to those that are in the Israeli current administration. And I'm not just talking about Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm talking about from their military, the defense, all the way down the line. Israel is well aware of what Iran is up to. And they are not going to sit idly by and wait for it to happen. Thank God and Baruch Hashem, Israel, unlike many other nations, has always been proactive rather than reactive. Doesn't mean it's going to go easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be a Sunday picnic or a cakewalk. This could be very bad for Israel and for the citizens anywhere in that area, anywhere around Israel. This is why we see Mike Pompeo in Saudi Arabia and Jordan and not just Israel. This is all preparation for what is about to come down. Israel knows about its northern border. Israel knows about how Iran has entrenched itself in Syria. And Israel knows what Hezbollah, one of Iran's factions, if you will, one of their little minions who is outfitted, trained, and armed by the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Republican Guard, Israel knows what Hezbollah is capable of. and so does Donald Trump. Mike Pompeo said something very interesting, and I want to end it on Mike Pompeo's statement, which is in Al Jazeera. Quote, "We remain deeply concerned about Iran's dangerous escalation of threats to Israel and the region and Iran's ambition to dominate the Middle East. The United States is with Israel in this fight." End quote. That's how we're going to leave it. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.